You made the wedding all about yourself, walking around, hey, you see me? I'm having such a good time. I pissed my pants. I get that bit. You know,
no,
it's not
one
a bad
noticed.
Bit.
No one noticed that I did
You're
this.
Wearing very light pants, too.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for, like, probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say...
Give me as well.
Three times a day. God will light it up.
It's just an absolute hack. Just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. And today we are going to be sharing our next wave of returning players to know for the 2024 college football season. Today we're doing defensive players, that being linebackers, defensive backs, and defensive linemen. It has been a whirlwind of a day of me just trying to get here to sit down and to record, going all the way from Florida back to Los Angeles. Sean, how are you doing?
Nice hat, Joe. Looks good. Looks new.
Screw
looks clean.
Screw you. I made a comment.
What? I'm
right
simply
we went,
complimenting
no,
your hat.
You weren't going to say shit until I said something. You weren't going to say anything.
Look,
nice
it's
beanie.
A good look.
It's March.
It's a good looking hat. It's April, by the way. It's April 7th. God, you're a doofus. Whatever. All right, Joe. Friday night, and this is going to tie in with the Bet Online read a little bit. I find myself at a function. I was invited to a Jersey Shore themed party. I guess this group of girls that everyone's moving out of the house, so they wanted to give one final send off. All right, just follow
this
me.
Already, this is already making me mad.
A lot of girls at the party. A lot of good social interaction possibilities. It's going pretty well. You know what else is on at the game? Iowa UConn is on at the game. It's going nuts. The women's game. At one point, I look behind me. I see 20 women just, having a great time, talking, socializing, just looking for dudes to talk to, basically. And then I took left and a right. I see a line of a dozen dudes locked into the women's game. And I realized, okay, either we all have money on it at Bet Online, or just socially, the women's college basketball has taken us into a place that we can't go back from, because everybody's locked in, dialed in, not talking to one woman, but watching 10 of them play basketball on the screen. So so that was Friday night.
I appreciate that aspect of things. I'm can guarantee that there definitely was money on that. That most of the people watching the game. Also, I don't appreciate the appropriation by these individuals of my culture to throw their stupid party. Okay. They can, they can find their own other groups of people to appropriate if they're going to throw a party with that type of a theme.
It's a house of girls that watch Jersey Shore, and you're getting upset.
And I bet there was a lot of Italian, innuendos and cultural things that were being used in said celebration. Were they not? Because how else do you celebrate as a Jersey Shore theme?
All right, so there were, some tank tops, and there were some chains out and all that. Some people changed up their hair a little bit, and there were some, I guess, outfits that would have worked on the show. But nobody was going around, Paisan! Nobody was doing any of
I don't believe you.
Genuine, like, good, you're thinking it's Goodfellas Italian shtick that we're doing. It was just a bunch of Northern Virginia kids dressed up in costume. Give me a break.
All right, what's the rest of your story?
Jersey Shore. Go ahead. You claim that show. Bet Online. That's where you need to be. If you want to be with the cool people at the party watching the women's college basketball game and you wanted to gamble on it, Bet Online is where you want to do it. Baseball's heating up. Seeing some good baseball fights starting off this season. I like it. College is getting testy also. Head to Bet Online today. Stay updated on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. I don't know who I'm taking yet for the men's final between Purdue and UConn. I think I'm definitely
UConn.
Rolling UConn, right?
See, it's and this is going to drop Monday morning, so it's not like or Sunday night, so it's not like there's going to be a lot of lead up. This isn't like an official breakdown prediction. It feels weird rooting for Dan Hurley, but it also feels necessary to root for Dan Hurley because he was the men's basketball coach at Rhode Island when we were there. I feel weird rooting for the guy who left. Is that sacrilegious to do so?
I'm rooting for him. He was always nice to me. If it was a, hey, what's up in the hallways, if it was just a general, light. I don't know, two-sentence conversation about some media nonsense. He also saw me playing shirtless on the main gym. So I feel like there's a bit of a bond there.
You think he was like, that large man, we need him. We need him.
Well, no. I know you weren't always invited to the five-on-fives at the actual.
I was never invited for good reason.
Well, I remember
there was a line for the 5'11" dumpy long snapper. Man, where is Joe?
They would have found you on the court. All right. But I remember being on the Skins team for some reason, just running up and down in the Ryan Center. You know, it was a good time. Then here comes Hurley just watching me miss a layup. I'm like, oh, this is great.
man, I wish that he did actually try to recruit you. All right, let's talk about guys that you need to know for the defensive side of the football. We're eventually going to switch things up and really break down each position group. But as I mentioned on the last show, this is our way of introducing our conversations on some of the best players in college football for the 2024 season. I want to start us off with my linebacker that I have. I was a little bit torn on doing the whole, do we count a stand-up rusher? Do we count a guy that's just listed as a linebacker and throw him into the mix? I'm going to go with one who is a stand-up hybrid, because I don't really have a lot of off-ball guys that I really wanted to turn to with pure excitement. I was debating Jamon Dumas Johnson at Kentucky. I think he's right up there and he's somebody I'm going to bring up, but I decided to go with a stand-up rusher, that being Trey Moore at UTSA, who's transferred to Texas. This past year, he was one of the top sack getters with 14 sacks. I believe he also ended up having 45 tackles on the year. He was one of the most productive defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rushers. I'm curious to see his utilization at Texas. But him jumping into the portal and moving on to an opportunity where he's going to be able to really showcase his capabilities excites me. And he is somebody who, if you remember, when we did our American Conference preview, we talked about him last year and we said, watch this guy. This guy is going to be a riser. He's going to really catch some attention. He's going to turn some heads. And he's done that. He was one of the most highly sought after defenders in the portal. And I really think that when the season's all said and done, we're going to be talking about him as one of the best players in college football.
I get a little Shane Ray vibes from him coming up from the outside.
I like that. He's built like
that. Yeah, that when I saw his frame and I see his explosiveness, that's what I pull it to. And Shane Ray made money in the NFL, so I'm not going to knock him. But I know there were some people that were expecting a little bit more from him, I guess, in the sack department. But that's who comes to me when I look at Moore. Yeah, he gets the corner well. He's got all the moves in his bag, and then he's just too dominant for the group of five, and move it up made sense. Why not go chase a team that I think will be in the college football playoff next year with Texas? So that's a good pick, Joe. I like him, dynamic, and you're kind of cheating a little with the linebacker.
Yeah, I had to bring him up. I needed to bring him up somehow.
I'm going to cheat a little also, and that's because this player, I guess, is switching in, his position for the upcoming season. But that's Abdul Carter at Penn State. Fell in love with this dude last year, watching him play. Every game that I was watching Penn State, I said, who's 11? Why is 11 making every play? Why is 11 hitting harder than everybody? And then I started watching him more. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in. Just a massive linebacker, great athleticism, closing speed is awesome. Not afraid to mix it up in the box. His game against Michigan was really fun. I mean, he was that first half when they were really hitting each other. Abdul Carter was thumping Donovan Edwards. He was thumping all of the dudes that were running. I'm like, okay, there's someone on this Penn State defense that's looking to play. Chop Robinson was obviously looking to play. They had dudes on the defense that wanted to, but I think Abdul Carter is the heart of that Penn State defense and what made him so good last year and what's going to make him and make them as good, if not better, this year.
Assuming that it will cause potentially some slight commotion, I didn't know where to describe Harold Perkins, by the way. So, like, he doesn't totally land on the radar for just throwing out these names. Because last year he had a down year because of improper usage. I think that when we have the linebacker conversation is when we're going to really bring him up. Just for this initial discussion, though, of linebacker / pass rusher guys that fit in those convos, I had to go with Trey Moore. I like Abdul Carter, though. He was to me, the more impressive defensive player everybody right now is glazing Chop Robinson. I am not in on the Chop Robinson hype for the season.
He's in the draft. I like him a good right. amount.
If we're going to be talking about somebody who is going to turn out to be the better pro, Abdul Carter is going to be that guy. Your defensive lineman, I want you to go first because I'm going to pick mine based on who you pick, because I would be really ashamed if one of these guys didn't make it on the list.
Will do. Also, just briefly, if I had a true linebacker for the linebacker, I like Danny Stutzman. He plays linebacker.
Good.
Top, like textbook linebacker, yeah. Up the down, reading the line, doing all that. Defensive lineman, I like Deion Walker from Kentucky. Just a beast of a man on the inside. A force. He's still raw, though. He still could use a good offseason, get a couple things smoothened out, and that's just bend. And that's just finding the quarterback, locating him. Because all he's doing, taking up one to two blockers the entire time, push them back, and then find. But if you can start, keep playing, keep getting some instincts, he's got the build, he's got the frame, and he's pushing around these SEC offensive linemen pretty well. He had a great game against West Virginia, and West Virginia had an internal three that I really liked. And Walker is just a beast on the inside. I like him. You know my thoughts on drafting interior defensive lineman high. I don't like that, but strictly for the sport and ball, Walker can ball, and he's doing a good job at Kentucky.
Okay, because we I don't want to describe this. I am quickly pivoting and adding in defensive tackle and then defensive end as we're to add this year, because there's two guys that I want to bring up for this category.
So bring them both up.
I'm bringing up both of them, and then I am imploring you to bring up a defensive end if you potentially could. So the defensive tackle that I wanted to bring up was Mason Graham from Michigan. Mason Graham to me was one of those guys where you saw the collective dominance of the Michigan unit, where they were just demolishing every single offensive line that they went against. Alabama's offensive line was really hitting its stride at the end of the year, but they were bullied and embarrassed by the linebackers, the defensive line, everybody. But if you really dig deep and you really watch closely on who's causing the most disruption, Mason Graham, the interior defensive tackle, is the guy. I think for sure that he is going to be a first-round pick. He is every physical trait in terms of flexibility and just short area explosiveness. Those boxes are all checked at 6'3" and 318 pounds. This past year's production wasn't anything crazy. It was only 23 tackles, 3 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. But he is one of those guys who is just a battering ram in the interior, which is going to create that attention diversion that sets up the success of some of his teammates. The defensive end that I wanted to bring up was James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee.
I know. Yeah.
That was who you were going to just bring up.
Yeah. It's we can share this one. I know you. Yeah.
We can share this one. He very likely could be the first overall pick because there might not be significant love for the quarterbacks in the 2025 draft. He is really polished, but also really athletic. He is just really, really fluid as an athlete. And last year, he had 9.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, an interception, and 18 solo tackles. We can't have an episode talking about the top returning defensive players and not bring up James Pierce Jr.
I was certain you were just going to bring him up. That's why I chose my guy. You like Pierce Jr. Yeah, he's awesome. He's annihilation, a wrecking ball coming off the edge, and defensive ends are starting to become in that quarterback camp for me, where that translation level to the NFL, like we know how good we could tell quarterbacks are good in college, especially the top 5 quarterbacks, but you don't know how they're going to pan out in the NFL. You just don't. You could do the same thing with defensive ends. One out of the 5 of them could be, Max Crosby, Von Miller. They could just turn out to be the freak that wins all their battles. The other 4 could just be productive 8 sack a year guys. And you're kind of left with that taste in your mouth. Like, where was that 18 sack season? So defensive ends, just it's getting too hard to scout who's going to be the real boom in each class.
So if you did, is that your defensive
Pierce
end
would be? Yeah. Top to bottom. He's got the frame. He's got the technique. He's awesome.
This year's draft class is very offensive heavy, and that's what's been talked about. But as we've put together this list today, and I haven't started my 2025 scouting. That's something that I'm hoping to do really soon as I'm really done with this 2024 class. It's disturbing how much defensive talent there is. Like, it feels like we're missing so many guys as we're talking about this. Like, we didn't bring up Anthony Hill Jr. from Texas. He's somebody who's going to get brought up when we do a more deeper list of, you know, is he an edge rusher, linebacker?
Yeah.
That remains to be discussed. But there's just so many names that are easy to miss. And I have a feeling with defensive back, we're definitely going to miss somebody. I have to bring up Caleb Downs, who is the worldly true freshman from last year at Alabama. He decides to transfer. He goes to Ohio State, 6'2", 203, 70 total tackles, 1 forced fumble, 2 interceptions, and 3 passes defense. He is one of those guys that will never see this type of an impact from a true freshman DB ever again, especially from a free safety, because the amount of instincts, knowledge of the game, just general reps it takes to get to the point where you can be as good as he was. And he flew all over the field. I'm expecting that he is going to be really productive in Ohio State's defense. I don't know how that's going to turn out, because there's always a possibility a change of scenery sometimes slows guys down, but I do not think that is going to happen. And Ohio State just got the best defensive player in the country, as we talked about.
Gosh, what do you do? You're leaving me with two that you're not, that we got to bring. All right, fine.
Was Downs not even on your radar?
Maybe really? Maybe three for DB.
Okay. Wow,
walk right past Travis Hunter chilling, most dynamic. Talk about freshman year.
Oh my
years,
god!
By the way,
okay.
Both Mays.
Okay.
Yeah, and then how about Will Johnson at Michigan? Maybe the best pure corner I've seen in
college.
We're
missing another guy. If those are the two guys.
Will
you're bringing
Johnson.
Up.
Johnson was my guy. I don't know if I've seen a more pure cornerback in college through his first 2 years, whatever, than him. He's fantastic. He's too good for college. I wish he didn't play this year so he could just save another year for the pros. I genuinely do. He's a pro corner right now. He was a pro corner his freshman year. I haven't seen somebody like him. It's just so technically sound, a mirror. If you're a wide receiver, you see Will Johnson line up against you, you're just seeing a mirror. Wherever I'm going, he's going. He's everything on the outside.
I would argue Travis Hunter does not count, not for bad reasoning, but for the fact that he split so much time last year. I just don't know what to classify
him.
I don't even think
give him a bump.
But I don't know if Colorado has figured out what he is primarily yet.
I think they have.
Well, we didn't bring up him. He played more receiver last year. We didn't bring him up as a top receiver.
He's a gamer. And I think that I think everybody kind of knows if he goes to the league, he's going to be a DB.
When I do my way too early mock draft, I'm going to list his position as a gamer. The last guy that I think we're also, by the way, I'm not going to give a deep breakdown on him, but like I thought you were going to bring him up was Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia. But it is insane how much defensive talent that there is that we could potentially miss out on, that we are missing out on. People are going to drop comments. Gonna be like, how did you forget so-and-so? And it's going to be like, shit, of course we missed this.
Joe's
guy.
Putting these rules on the dock that we just pick one guy per. And I'm like, all right, I'd like to pick more, but this is what we're at. I'm not the rule maker, apparently.
I guess I'm not. Not any final thoughts?
Either.
Any? What does that mean?
Not the,
why? Because I was late because I fell asleep? Yeah, that's my fault.
There's some fun. As fun as the offensive players are going to be this next season, the top defensive players are going to provide you as much film if you're keeping an eye on them. There's guys on every team's got a good defensive player. I mean, there's a Louisville D lineman that I left off that I'm just like, almost not there yet. And then there's plenty. The defensive backs, you just going right to Downs, though, crazy to me. There should have been more like reluctancy to not mention some of the other guys.
All right, so let's get to our typical nonsense topics of the week. And of course, we have to start off with, I don't even know how to really interpret or break this down. So Sean posted a clip the other day and I resent it to you so you can pull up the clip and just kind of watch it while we're talking about this. I'm going to try to, last show I remember to put content into the episode in the edit. Nobody gave me any positive.
You did good. You did very good, Joe.
So Sean posted a clip, did a really good job of editing it. And I scrolled down and noticed that there was an advertisement placed on our video. If anyone knows, Twitter, Now that is like a big thing that there's a lot of ads underneath these videos. But I'm disturbed by the nature of it, and I'm kind of wondering if Sean has attracted this energy. This account is called Chitan, and it is some sort of, I don't know if it's Japanese, it's some sort of Asian mascot that has 1.2 million followers that is on a pogo stick falling down a hill in the middle of the forest. I mean, do you have any idea what to make of this? I could not pick up. Do you know about Chitan?
Well, you should have at least translated the bio. Chitan, Japanese crazy mascot, green apple emoji, eternal zero-year-old baby otter fairy, baby emoji. Just by being alive, I am a success, smiling emoji. I want to make people around the world smile, orange diamond, or what would that be, a rhombus emoji, orange rhombus emoji. I've been inundated with Chitan a good amount on Twitter.
Bullshit.
There's a famous ad where the Chitan kicks a big inflatable ball at somebody, and then the person falls down. Chitan rolling down the hill. I don't know what it has to do with Mike Vrabel or, you know, any of the college football content that we're posting, but I guess
my assumption is correct here. You attracted the Chitan energy.
I'm not trying to attract the Chitan energy. I'm not liking the posts. But I do see, this is not my first time seeing Chitan. I wasn't aware of the gimmick. It seems like the mascot does a couple stunts, and then they take that video and they spread it across Twitter like wildfire. So Chitan advertisement bot.
Uh-huh.
I don't hate it though. Why not? You're coming to our page. This is what you're getting.
I would love to know how many other people got the Chitan ad. I have to just add this in there. I kind of wish, I didn't really do much investigating until now. I kind of wish this was an account that had like 100 followers.
That'd be
great. I think it would have been a lot more entertaining. I also would have, we might have been able to pursue a long-term advertisement with Chitan, but they've got 1.2 million followers, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we're looking for a mascot. I'm not as fired up about it because I know we can't get Chitan. But if there is a mascot, you know, some bot mascot that we want to make ours, you know, maybe we could strike some type of deal. But Chitan's too big for us. We can't do anything with that.
All right, next thing I want to get to, something I stumbled upon, and then I'll let you intro the last two topics. So I found this on Twitter, and I could not have found a more perfect Hack City conversation. It is a Reddit thread. And the Reddit thread is, managers of Reddit, what's the worst thing an employee has done to get themselves fired? And the best, without a doubt, this could not have been a more perfect top response.
Oh, please.
Guy was just hired. He asked to go home on his second day because he shit his pants.
Mm.
All right, shit happens. A little TMI, but what can he do? He must be an honest soul. Went home for the afternoon, came in on the third day, shit his pants again, and asked to go home. There was no fourth day. So There's so much to dissect in this. There has to be some sort of discrimination here because this man shit his pants 2 days in a row. I want to know, is this something that has plagued him in the past? Or is this just one bad week? And then, I don't know how if you shit your pants, how you don't say, hey, I'm going to take the week off. I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm just going to tell you I had a really bad digestive problem. I'm going to take the week off and I'm going to get my, quite literally, my shit in order. The showing up the next day was a bad idea.
This seems like a hostile work environment. I mean, there's not a bathroom in walking distance to be able to go and treat your IBS or Crohn's or whatever the situation may be. You know, that this manager should, you know, might have an HR violation. Regardless, shitting your pants to get out of work will get you out of work. If you really don't want to go to work, all you have to do is load it up. And I've told roommates that. Morning, everyone's getting ready for the morning. Oh, I really don't want to go in today. I don't feel like it. I'm just like, just go in, do like 45 minutes of work, get some FaceTime, then shit your pants. That's all you got to do. Then you're home with us at noon and you're having, and then everyone's having a day. All right. It's not that, it's not hard to get out of work. You just got to be committed.
We've just determined though that you're only allowed one shit. No, you're only allowed one because if you do it twice, you get canned. I What I am desperate to know, and I'm disturbed that you're suggesting that to your friends, what I really want to know, though...
They want answers. I'm a problem solver. If I was better at math, I'd be an engineer. But right now, all I have is social fixes for people.
What was the conversation like when he shit his pants the second time? Does he walk into the office and say, boss, I'm sorry, I did it again, and he said, don't come back tomorrow? What was that conversation? I need to know. And better yet, as this is imploring managers of Reddit to comment on it, I would like any managers that we have, if you had somebody who shit themselves 2 days in a row, how do you handle that conversation?
All right,
requires a sterile environment. Maybe that's why that they're not treating it, you know, they're treating it so seriously.
All right, Joe, you be the employee, I'll be the manager real quick.
Oh, we're role playing here?
Come in and tell me that you just shit your pants, all right? I won't know what's happening. All
right. Okay. Wait, this is for the second time I'm showing up?
Yeah, second time. You shit your pants the day before, and now you're back to work.
Okay. All right. So this is me knocking?
Yeah. Yeah, come on in.
Boss, do you have a second?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Joe? Glad you made it in today. I know you were feeling bad yesterday.
It happened again.
Hmm?
It happened again.
What happened again?
You just said it. What happened yesterday? I don't know if it's something I ate. You're going to need to get me a new chair. And I promise it's not because my buddies are trying to get me to go to the bar right now. I promise that has nothing to do with this.
I wasn't even thinking that. I just can't believe you walked in and told me for a second straight day that you have to leave work because of this incident.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I might have some sort of a stomach, but get me a new chair. What am I supposed to do here? Everyone smells that I just shit my pants for the second time.
Okay. Let's just fix this.
There was a little bit more noise this time. All right,
you leave the restaurant. I don't even know if it's right. You leave the business, and then I'll shoot you an email later after you're cleaned up. And then maybe we could figure this thing out.
So, okay, wait. We're
back.
We're pulling back the court. So the assumption here is you're thinking, it has to have been at.
I'm thinking
a restaurant.
I do. I'm also thinking, after this, if this guy comes back in my building the next day, he's gonna shit his pants again.
I really hope it's like a Toyota dealership. That's what I'm really, really hoping for. That's where the real. How do we hire this guy? I want to hire this guy.
I got pilots and RAV4s. That's a Honda. I got RAV4s. We need to get going. Why are you my new salesman who's supposed to be getting trained not here? You're charging me for 8 hours a day. I got 16 hours charged in the bankroll, and I got 2 hours of work and two loaded diapers.
We need to move on from this because this is going way too long. All I can picture, we obviously know that this was like clearly somebody had a stomach issue and happened, but all I can picture is that like it's the morning meeting of the boss trying to rally the troops, and he's looking across the room, and then he makes eye contact with this individual, and he's just like bug-eyed, and he's clearly just like pushing. Like a toddler who's shitting his pants. And he just,
why would he shit his pants in the meeting?
Get the fuck out of my building. That's what I think happened.
You think he made an example out of him?
Yeah, there was no diarrhea. There was no stomach issue. He was just fully loading his pants. And the boss realized what was happening. Oh, God, this might be one of the worst topics we had.
Jesus. I feel for the person. I do. You know, they were probably very stressed about starting a new job, and that might have gotten to them a little bit. Stress does weird things to the body. It locked my neck up really bad for the SATs, my first one, and I had to take the SATs in tremendous pain for 4 hours, and I couldn't move my head. So I get the stress-induced body stuff. But pooping your pants third day at the job is really, really bad.
Well, that's maybe
we'll look and getting some professional help, maybe some medication, or get you off whatever medication you were on. It's really a net loss wherever you're going if you're doing that on back-to-back days.
I'd hire this person in a heartbeat. That to me shows initiative. It shows confidence, a lot of things. I fully support it. The next topic, can you lead us in on this next one?
Yeah, why not? Is this the vodka in the Canada? All right, thanks for making a note there. Yeah, so Joe and I have been dirtbags before. We've been young college drinkers before. And I guess it looks like a supermarket in Alberta, Canada, decided to start disposing of some of their alcohol. And to do that, they said, all right, we might as well sell it, not throw it out. They put cheap vodka in gallon jugs, Joe. You know, the big water jugs that you like to haul around, the big milk jugs that you're always buying, all that. Imagine that, but just a bunch of vodka sitting in it, and you're getting it at a pretty cheap price. I think it's $50 for a gallon of vodka. In Alberta, Canada. Seems like a little high. I know they like to drink in Canada. I can't imagine this isn't going to end poorly for those that are drinking gallons of alcohol, because you can get experimental with it. You can pour half, save half, put juice in it, make some type of party drink, whatever you want to do. This is for the dirtbags, though. Vodka 4L value. This looks like a water jug that you would have at your granddad's house just because he doesn't want to buy the bottles. I think it's a necessary new studio addition is to have the gallon jug of vodka.
Oh, I think it's a good idea.
In the new spot.
How do we get some of this fine liquor in our possession? My only thought on this, and before anyone jumps on me and says like, you don't have a taste for good alcohol. I'm a tequila drinker. I love tequila. I'll drink bourbon when I can. I'm very, you know, particular, not particular, but I understand that there's different tastes. There's different qualities to certain types of alcohols. Vodka tastes the same across the board. This has been one of the biggest, most ridiculous things to me as I have aged and drank more and more different types of alcohol. Vodka tastes the same around the board. So if I can get it this cheap in a plastic container, I'm buying it. I've never understood that. I've never understood the snobby people that are like, oh, I can't have this type of vodka because it tastes like rubbing alcohol. It all tastes like rubbing alcohol. Get off your high horse, buy the plastic container of vodka in Alberta, Canada, and just enjoy your weekend. See if
would
you
drink
the whole thing?
So you no. So you think first? I think that there's a couple dissection points with your statement and also the gallon. Someone's trying to capitalize on the Borg revolution that's taking place in colleges, and that's for those who don't know, a blackout rage gallon. You really don't want to see anybody drinking a blackout rage gallon, but we know how college gets. I think you're way off the mark here, Joe. Would you drink tequila, a plastic bottle of tequila?
No, but this is why I pointed this out. Tequila
plastic,
it's
different. It's different. It's as different, if not more different, than variances of tequila.
Because tequila has a very wide – anyone who's a tequila drinker has a very wide range of flavors, and bad tequila will ruin a tequila-based drink. Same thing with bourbon. Shitty cheap bourbon, scotch, whiskey ruins – or even when you're just drinking it neat. There's a reason why people have very specific ones that they go to every single time. And tequila is supposed to kind of mirror the way that bourbon is consumed and those types of alcohols are consumed. Vodka, that you're telling me you think that vodka has different flavoring?
I know for a fact it does have different flavoring. Aristocrat out of a plastic bottle is way different than Sky or Grey Goose. What are those? Either of those, way better. You don't remember Exclusive? How well
I
that
knew
down?
You were going to bring that up. And I mean,
I'm
that
just,
was
I'm not
shit.
Trying to. Yeah, smooth, very smooth. But then if you're drinking
and it was
Svedka,
garbage,
like we're also doing, that is more garbage. So even as a freshman, I know you're lying, and this is your new tequila persona taking over.
No.
To trash the good vodka drinkers
of the
nation. But
here, you're just pointing this out, what I'm saying, though, here with vodka. It's just different ranges of terrible taste. Just
it's good or bad.
Garbage. No, get. There's no good or bad. It's just bad or so less good. Bad. That's it. There's no in between.
You like tequila. You know why you like tequila? Because you like to burn your tequila drinkers are frauds because you're like, all the bad stuff is bad. Whatever. No. All tequila, you're just burning everything off on the first shot anyways. The first drink everywhere. And all of it is just
tequila drinkers don't do tequila shots. I don't do tequila shots. I think that that's obnoxious.
What are you doing with tequila then?
I do tequila sodas or I'll drink it neat.
Oh, God.
Or actually, my cousin turned me on to tequila ginger ale. Very good.
You drink it. Oh, that might bang. Tequila neat is not. No, there's no such thing.
That's how actually you're supposed to consume it. You're supposed to drink it neat or on the rocks.
That's just drinking tequila straight. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
It's different. It's way different.
It's not.
You are regressing. You are on a definitely different slope than I imagined.
No. If you're a real
psychopath. You're pulling tequila straight and you're thinking that's you know, upscale.
The real psychopaths will consume vodka straight. All right, so last thing, Sean is entertained by a photo that I sent him. So this past weekend, my aunt got married in Orlando, Florida, which was an unbearable hike to get there. Very strange weekend, to say the least. Very weird order of operations here. Mm. I was in the wedding party. It was a 3 o'clock wedding. All the nephews and stuff were like all the cousins were, you know, the male and female cousins were on either side. Those were the only people that were in the wedding party. None of her friends, none of the, you know, the groom's friends, just because, you know, second marriage, blah, blah, blah. They wanted to do that. Thought it was a good gesture.
Sure.
It was on a beach in Orlando, which was a very disorienting experience because it's not like this was like your Bermuda where you're on a resort and you're in a secluded area. No, there are a bunch of hicks that are just stopping what they're doing while some are driving on the beach, might I add.
Oh, there's public beach wedding.
Yeah. So they stop what they're doing and they're just standing there watching. When the ceremony ends, some moron with a minivan honks his horn and starts yelling. Yeah.
Cancer. Basically, make it last.
That was the vibe. It was hard to concentrate. I'm going to say that much. I'm not going to elaborate.
You remember ours? Oh, that was so nice. That's not
afterwards. An hour after, we met up for like the reception and stuff that was at this one restaurant, open bar and everything. And then the night was supposed to be capped off with a bar crawl. Now, this was terribly timed out because 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we were just sitting and drinking open bar. And then we rolled over to this bar crawl. Nobody made it to the bar crawl because 90% of the people couldn't walk in a straight line. Half of them were spilling things on themselves. Now, I may or might not have spilled espresso martini on my lap and sent that picture to Sean. I was not that inebriated. I just happened to clumsily spill something on me because that is my nature. I did not piss myself.
Joe, you're not the first person.
Show the picture. I'm not putting it into the edit. Show the
first person to have a couple drinks at a wedding and pee their pants, okay?
I did.
That is definitely full stream.
That is.
There's not. I've seen espresso martini glasses. All right, they're not that big. All right, so
wait.
I love my big espresso martini. Dump right onto your dick and balls.
Okay,
then you're a liar.
I was holding in my hand, and I moved my hand and knocked my hand into the glass, and I spilled like this much espresso martini. Okay. Mm. Mm-hmm. I went into the bathroom and I dumped soap and water on it, came back, got yelled at for using soap to clean it. And then I was handed club soda. And that's why that patch is so large, because I kept just adding shit on top of the shit to try and clean it.
Okay. So your dad started pulling down club soda, pouring club soda on your pants and wiping your pants in the middle of the wedding then.
No, he handed it to me and I, you know, appropriately cleaned it. This was not some big show and dance. I also, 2 minutes prior, was not the only one to dump espresso martini on my lap because my future sister-in-law literally did the same exact thing.
Okay, so you obviously also, in the picture, I'm noticing something. You abandoned the espresso martini and then you switched to, I'm guessing, a tequila soda because you couldn't trust yourself with the espresso martini.
No, I finished the espresso martini.
No, I know you finished it. Your pants drank the last half. Look. You get the shakes and you get the sugar rush from the espresso martini. You still can't handle
sugar in espresso martini.
You're a growing boy and you got a little jittery and then you decided to pour a drink on your pants and then it ruined the wedding. That's fine.
The wedding. Let's back that off. No.
Sorry. You made the wedding all about yourself. walking around, hey, you see me? I'm having such a good time. I pissed my pants. I get that bit. You know,
no
it's not
one
a bad
noticed.
Bit.
No one noticed that I did
You're
this.
Wearing very light pants, too.
That's I was one of the least drunk people that was at this at this point in the night.
Were you the only barefooted person, or were other people not rocking socks?
I wasn't barefoot.
Yeah, shoes on with no socks.
I was wearing linen pants with loafers. I'm not going to wear socks with loafers.
Linen pants on the beach. Sweating a rented tux like a man. Terrible.
Well, it was what the attire was that the entire... So like me and my cousins, we look like morons because we were wearing the same exact outfit the rest of the night.
Oh, walking around. Nice.
Yeah, just so you guys terrible beach shirt and linen pants.
Was it a white beach shirt?
No, it was blue.
Oh, blue on the man. Okay. You know, it all checks out. You go to a wedding. Everything's nice. You're in Florida. New people. A little overstimulating. You decide to sabotage yourself and pee your pants. Or spill a drink on your pants purposely. You can't let yourself be happy. Eventually, okay. I hope that you will. But I don't know. How'd you like? Is it warm enough in Florida? I'm going this week.
It was fine. It was like 70, 75. I will make sure to completely load my pants from the back during your wedding.
Now, here's the thing. Good wedding on the beach. You load your pants on the beach. You get a little scared. You might just have
run
to do
the water.
Not either run in the water, or you start slyly digging a hole. Then you could just throw the britches in the sand, bury them, and then you're gone. It's a great place to have an accident, is on the beach for a beach wedding.
I think we've capped the show off on for amount of poop talk. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Hack City Pod. Hit the subscribe button wherever you're tuning in. Leave us a comment below. Let us know what you think, and we will be back with more later on in the week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.